rate at least through tomorrow. The Dow is down 145 points, the Nasdaq losing 247. This is SRN News.
The new FedNow system is paving the way for the digital dollar. It grants the government unprecedented access to your financial transactions. This isn't just an invasion of privacy. It's a direct assault on your liberty and hard-earned money. It's another reason why I recommend physical gold IRAs from the Birch Gold Group. I'm Lance Wallnow. I'm a news analyst and a podcaster with nearly 25 million downloads to people just like you who cherish their financial independence. A precious metals IRA can help you avoid the scrutiny of Big Brother while also preserving your retirement savings through almost anything, including economic crashes, political instability, and even hyperinflation. To find out more, get your free info kit on gold IRAs by texting the word FAITH to 989898. Birch Gold Group is the only gold company I trust. Get their free info kit and see how a gold IRA can help you. Text FAITH to 989898. Remember, there's no strings attached. Text FAITH to the number 989898 right now, and I pray you're blessed with continued prosperity.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network, brought to you by Montgomery Paint and Body. From a little fender bender to total body repair, MPB will fix it good as new, maybe better. For over 35 years, the Turner family has been getting you back on the road. Call 279-7325.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. The weather news couldn't be better for a week in February. I tell you, lots of sunshine again today. Well, a little warmer than yesterday with a high around 66. Clear skies, not quite as chilly tonight, low 37. Tomorrow's high temperature in the lower 70s. Thursday, I think we're in the mid-70s. Lots of sunshine. The risk of showers holding off until Thursday night, maybe into Friday morning, but not much. And dry weather returns for the weekend. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Thank you once again for voting ASE the best credit union and best mortgage company in Central Alabama's Reader's Choice Awards. We're honored to serve our members for 69 years and counting.
ASE Credit Union, your life, your goals, your ASE.
1819 News.
Four members of the House Freedom Caucus have made a point of endorsing Alabama Congressman Barry Moore as he runs for Congressional District 1 against fellow Republican Jerry Carl. The four members of the House Freedom Caucus have worked with Moore on the House Judiciary Committee and say that Moore is very aware of the need to have operational control at the U.S.-Mexico border. Troy Nels of Texas said that Moore knows that every town is a border town due to the radical policies of Joe Biden, and Andy Biggs of Arizona says Moore understands that it's not just about good policy but enforcement of that policy. Congressmen Warren Davidson and Eli Crane are calling on Alabamians to send Moore back to Congress by choosing him as the Republican primary candidate on March 5th. I'll be back with more Alabama stories after this.
Where I was living was not a great place to live anymore. I began to pray for a place to go, praying for all of these things that a 9-year-old would want. I wanted horses, big house with a bunch of people my age. I wanted parents. I wanted a mom and a dad. Before I even prayed it, the Lord had already answered my prayer with the Big Oak Ranch. Who would that 9-year-old be if she never came to the Big Oak Ranch? I would be trying to fight for survival instead of fighting to break a cycle.
Big Oak Ranch, a Christian home for children needing a chance.
Montgomery police arrest a man for a weekend shooting that left one person dead and three others injured. 34-year-old Marcus Henderson is the confirmed fatality. Authorities took 29-year-old Robbie Kywell Prevo into custody. He's being charged with capital murder and he's being held with no bond. Well, the numbers are in from a dance marathon held at Auburn University at its Student Activity Center. Current and former students at AU were there to boogie it up for as long as possible. That event raised $356,000 for the future creation of the Bill and Olivia Amos Children's Hospital. The money will go to Piedmont Columbus Regional Hospital to create this healthcare facility within the Chattahoochee Valley. I'm Andrea Tice.
For more news affecting Alabamians, go to 1819news.com. And while you're there, subscribe to the daily newsletter.
Conservative Justice Sarah Stewart has the experience to lead Alabama's courts. As a tough-on-crime judge, Sarah Stewart presided over hundreds of cases giving tough sentences to the worst criminals. Republicans can trust Justice Sarah Stewart to defend the Constitution and protect our families. On March 5th, vote conservative Republican Sarah Stewart for Alabama Chief Justice. Paid for by Sarah Stewart Campaign, 2029B, Airport Boulevard, Mobile, Alabama, 36606.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
It's time for Montgomery's conversational radio show. It's News and Views on News Talk 93.1 FM. To join the conversation, call 272-9228.
So very much of a germaphobe, by the way.
Thank you, Dr. Pepper, and thank you, Chancellor, or Dr. Paper, and thank you, Chancellor.
After damning politicians uphill and down Dale for many years as rogues, vagabonds, frauds, and scoundrels, I sometimes suspect that, like everyone else, I often expect too much of them.
I got hairy legs.
I got worms.
How dare you?
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by the gold. You know the thing.
Stop playing with it.
Now you conduct yourself in a democracy.
Hey, mister. I don't mean to be telling tales out of school, but there's a feller in there who'll pay you $10 if you sing into his can.
I'm not here to make a record, you dumb cracker. They broadcast me out on the radio.
Joey Clark.
Welcome into News and Views in the afternoon. I'm Joey. Eddie's here as my trusty sidekick. How you doing, man?
All righty.
Don't be watching that view clip up on the screen. It's going to rot your brain out, those harpies.
That lady caught my attention.
Hey, without further ado, as is tradition on Tuesdays, we have the one, the only, Judge Andrew Napolitano on the stream. Judge, how are you today, sir? I'm sorry, I had you muted. It sounds like you're doing well, though. I've got you now.
Okay. Yes, I am doing well. What was Eddie watching on the screen that you admonished him for?
It was a clip of The View, right, Eddie?
Yes, it was a couple mm-hmm. young ladies, and one of them had some attractive hair. It caught my attention. I'll be honest. It caught my attention.
See what I do
God,
with
God
it.
Bless him. God bless him.
So there's a lot to talk about today. I almost want to start with what would probably be the lightest topic, which are these recent rulings against Trump, in particular this real estate case, essentially. I'll admit, my sense is this is absurd, but what's your take on this recent ruling and then what the next steps are, how this could affect Trump?
Well, this is my column for this week, which you will get in the next few hours as soon as I get it back from my editor. Donald Trump and his family and his family corporation were fined $400 million for some crime that wasn't committed and harm that wasn't caused. The allegation is that they engaged in fraud. Fraud is a material misrepresentation made in order to induce someone to rely on it and where someone relies on it to their detriment. Now, nobody relied on this to their detriment. The allegation is that he didn't give true and accurate and scrupulously correct evaluations of his buildings, which he pledged as security for loans. Well, the bank sent their own appraisers to evaluate the buildings, and the bank were satisfied with what their appraisers produced and with what Trump produced. And the bank's officers testified at trial. Not only did Trump not cheat them, not only was everything paid back on time, but they would gladly lend to Trump again if the situation arose. So you have an interloper here, the government, who somehow claims that even though the banks weren't harmed, it, the government, was harmed, and it cannot tell you what the harm was. Well, there are basic principles of American jurisprudence. Where there's a wrong, there's a remedy. Where there's no wrong, there's no need for a remedy. Where there's the violation of a duty, the breach of a duty, and it causes harm, you can sue. But where there's no breach of any duty and nobody was harmed, there's no basis for a lawsuit. This is a crazy New York state law which allows no jury and allows a judge to seize assets even though there was no harm. I'm sure this will be reversed either by the appellate courts in New York or by the Supreme Court of the United States. It does more harm to the rule of law in this country than anything Trump could have done to those banks.
Is the dollar amount meant to really hamper him? I mean, he's got to put up essentially $500 million, right?
Okay, so the dollar amount is based on what the government's experts opined Trump would have earned had he not gotten favorable rates, which the state argued he got because he gave misleading information about his wealth. So he earned, in accordance with these experts, $100 million more than he would have earned because he would have been paying higher interest rates if the value of the assets was less. So if you borrow $100 million and pledge a building worth $1 billion, you're going to pay higher interest rates than if you borrow $100 million and pledge a security, a building worth $2 billion. Because the more equity there is in that building, the easier it is for the bank to, and less expensive for the bank to seize it if you don't pay, so they'll give you a more favorable rate. That's the government's theory. So the government's experts said, had he been charged normal rates rather than Donald Trump rates for borrowing money, he would have earned less, himself and his corporation would have earned less. This is the excess income he earned, times 0.9% or 0.09 for interest comes to close to $400 million. Now, in terms of what he's going to do, Forbes magazine has a team that tracks his wealth. They've been tracking his wealth for years. According to them, he has liquid assets about 405 to 410 million. So if you add this 357.58, it keeps going up because of the interest.
Right.
It's gone up since the judge issued his ruling on Friday. If you add that to the $83 million he owes on the E. Jean Carroll case and the $5 million from the other E. Jean Carroll case, he's depleted his liquid assets. Now, can he file an appeal? Yes. Does he have to post this money in order to file the appeal? No. But he does have to post the money in order to prevent the plaintiffs from executing on their judgment. So if the state says, okay, don't worry, you can go to the appellate court, he doesn't have to post anything. But if the state says, give us your money or we will take it from you, which a judgment creditor can do if the assets are liquid, he will have to post that money by depositing it in cash in a court bank account or by purchasing a bond, which is really an insurance policy naming the government as the beneficiary in case he loses the appeal and he doesn't have any cash. Man. Either way, it's a very expensive proposition for him. You can imagine what the premiums are on an insurance policy of that nature.
Well, with all his digital trading cards and those golden Trump shoes, I think he'll raise money, I think, in all sorts of ways. But I agree with you that this is a huge blow to the rule of law. I think most folks, and we'll have plenty of clips, I think it was Kevin O'Leary on CNN saying, this is absurd. Like, why would I want to do business in the state of New York now if you're going to tell me and my bank how we have to do business with one another?
Well, Kevin makes a very good point. You know, as I said, the banks didn't lose a nickel. Everybody made money. Now, Trump didn't take the money that he borrowed from the banks and put it in a shoebox. He used it to develop real estate that produced thousands of blue-collar jobs and many high-end, very high-end buildings and apartments and condominiums, which also produced wealth because you buy those things, you keep them for a few years, they go up in value, you sell them again. It's a win-win-win for everybody. And Kevin's right. If this is the way the government is going to intrude itself. Now, let's say I punch you. Let's make it Eddie. Let's say I punch Eddie in the nose.
Yeah, he deserves it. I literally encourage every guest I have to hit him. So yeah,
he can sue me for pain and suffering and the damage to his nose. Why? Because I breached a duty not to touch his nose, and that breach caused him harm. But let's say he goes home and his wife or girlfriend looks at the nose and said, oh my God, I don't like the way that looks. I'm going to sue that guy that did it to you. Well, I have a duty not to punch a wife or girlfriend in the nose, but I didn't breach that duty. So no breach, no harm, no lawsuit. That's what happened here. Trump did not breach any duty to the government. He did not cause the government any harm. When the court asked the government what the harm was, the government said, well, if Trump had not deceived the banks, the banks would have loaned him less money, and there would have been more money around for the banks to loan to other people. Now, that defies basic economics 101. First of all, it presumes that banks lend money from their reserves. They don't.
Right.
They get free fake cash from the Federal Reserve to lend money. And second, lending money to Trump produces immediate wealth because of the vast numbers of people that he hires with that money. None of this is harm to the government or any interest that the government has.
Again, folks, we're talking to Judge Andrew Napolitano. You can always go to judgenap.com or check out his podcast, Judging Freedom, wherever podcasts are available. I tend to watch it on YouTube. And I told folks, just a reminder, that was the light portion of what we're going to talk about. Because, I mean, your op-ed, I've read it over again this morning, hit me right between the eyes. You essentially make the argument that the United States is in the grip of nihilism and a culture of death. For the audience out there, explain that.
Well, we're in a culture of death, and I know this is going to get to another topic, that Alabama Supreme Court opinion, which every law student and every lawyer and every judge should read. It's so gifted. But we're in a culture of death because we permit the slaughter of babies in the womb. And we tell babies in the classroom how to change their gender by slaughtering their own bodies. In New Jersey, it is required of seven-year-olds that they be told how to change their gender. Is it any wonder that when the government preaches violence, when the government funds slaughter in Gaza, when the government keeps on life support Ukraine, which has lost 500,000 young men to the Russian military in what is essentially a 300-year-old border dispute, that the government thrives on violence. Is it any wonder when some madman turns around at a Super Bowl celebration and shoots 23 people or goes into a classroom and shoots students? When the government engages in violence, whether it's abortion or the death penalty or anything in between, when the government lauds killing, when the government spends $886 billion a year on the military, more than the next 12 countries, which includes Moscow and Beijing combined, we thrive on a culture of death. And no country can live very long like this. They didn't have abortion in the Roman Empire, but they had all this other killing at the end days of the empire, which is, I think, what we're approaching now. I didn't think all this killing would be happening under a liberal Democrat, but it is. You know, my friend, I just was on his podcast yesterday, and I told him, I quote him almost every day, Tom Woods.
Oh, yeah, great guy.
He's a wonderful guy, a mutual friend of ours, one of the brightest, most articulate people I know. Says no matter who you vote for, you get John McCain. So no matter who you vote for, they want to kill. George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, Donald Trump, Joe Biden. They all want to use that power to kill without justification, without moral basis, without legal basis. These are very, very, very dangerous times in which we live. That's the point of this piece that I wrote last week.
Yeah, I encourage folks to read it themselves. Again, you can go to judgenap.com, and it's syndicated all over the country. Many different websites picking up your work. And now, shifting to here to Alabama, and I want to start by quoting the Chief Justice of the great state of Alabama, Tom Parker. And I'm not surprised he wrote this, having gotten to know the man a little bit. He says, quote, human life cannot be wrongfully destroyed without incurring the wrath of a holy God who views the destruction of his image as an affront to himself. Even before birth, all human beings bear the image of God, and their lives cannot be destroyed without effacing his glory. Now, I sent this to you this morning. You already, just a second ago, you know, characterized it, but what is your sense of this ruling, and why do you say this should be taught in law schools?
Well, the ruling, here's the basic law. You know, there are 50 states in the union. They each have a constitution, and they each have a court of last resort. In about 45 of them, that's called the state Supreme Court. Some other states have different names for the court of last resort. In Alabama, it's called the Supreme Court. So the Supreme Court of Alabama has the final say on the meaning of the Alabama Constitution. Well, who writes the Alabama Constitution? Well, the people do when they periodically add amendments to it. I don't know when the current Alabama Constitution was written, but whenever it was adopted by whoever the voters were at the time, and it is periodically amended. And Alabama's Right to Life Amendment made it very clear that in the state of Alabama, a fetus in the womb is a person entitled to all of the legal protections of personhood. And that's basically what the Supreme Court did today. I mean, it's remarkable because we live in this death culture society. It is not remarkable because it's basically just saying, well, here's the Constitution. It's in plain English. There's very little for us to do except to say, here's what it means. I mean, the case arises in an unusual context involving in vitro fertilization, where the fertilized egg was inadvertently destroyed and the IVF clinic was being sued for wrongful death. And I don't know how the lower courts ruled, but the Supreme Court said this is going back to trial because this was a person who was inadvertently killed. When the Dobbs decision came down, there are very few right-to-life people like I who were critical of it. Now, I was critical of it because it unleashed the abortion demons, not in Alabama, but in other states where they naturally reside, right, by leaving this up to the states. Question, have there been more abortions or fewer abortions annually since Roe versus Wade was reversed? There have been more because places like New Jersey and California, come to New Jersey, have your abortion. You can have your abortion up to the moment after birth. Come to California, we'll give you a hotel room. We'll pay your expenses. We're the abortion capital of the Western world. And I encouraged my Princeton classmate, in the public, not directly, I want to call him up and get into some sort of an ethical issue. Somebody called me up to try and persuade me, but in my speaking and writing, to characterize the fetus in the womb as a person. The fetus in the womb has human parents, and the fetus in the womb has all of the genetic material within her tiny body to develop into a full-grown post-birth human. So this decision by the Alabama Supreme Court is remarkable for its clarity and its courage, but there's nothing novel about it. It is merely stating the obvious, an obvious statement that the Supreme Court of the United States wouldn't make. Now, Justice William Brennan, who once sat in the same court as I did, he was a trial judge in New Jersey, and he became a justice of the Supreme Court because President Eisenhower's attorney general heard him give a speech that they loved. Anyway, it's a funny story. But he once said, when asked, what does the Constitution mean? Answer, whatever five justices say it means. So my guess is that Sam Alito could not get four other justices to agree with him that the fetus in the womb is a person. I may be wrong.
Well, and now we got to get Alabama to be consistent because we're all about the death penalty still in this state. So, but I think it's a great state.
That execution the other day was horrific and monstrous. And the governor should be kicked out of office for permitting it to happen. But that's another story for another time.
Well, I always appreciate your insights and just your passion, especially on these very important, deep issues. And, you know, that quote you started your op-ed with, the reference to Nietzsche, what God is dead and we have killed him and there's not enough water to wash the blood from our hands. Well, I don't think God's fully dead, at least in the great state of Alabama.
And that's it. God bless you. Thank you, Joey. Always a pleasure, my man.
Thank you, Judge. Always appreciate it. Yes, sir. He is really just great to be a friend of his at this point. So, Eddie, you had to go out of the room for a second,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, just for a minute.
He was talking about how, like, he was trying to lay out how it's one thing to punch a guy in the nose. Say it's like Eddie that I'm going to punch in the nose. We'll have to play it back for you. And I said, yeah, I threatened him all the time with violence.
Look at this nose. It's a large nose. You notice there's no breaks in it?
Really?
Well, there's two, but a lot of people.
I was about to say.
No, it's still pretty straight, though. A lot of people tried to hit it, but not everybody's been successful. Two of them got in.
Man.
I'll never forget you, Danny. You were the first guy who broke my nose. Johnson Street, Howling Gardens, middle of the street fight.
Anyway, I hate you missed that because, you know, to hear the judge threaten you. Not even threaten, just use it as a hypothetical. It's like a very punchable face. It's like, it made my day.
I hear that a lot. I hear that a lot.
So, how did yesterday afternoon go, hosting for Greg Budell?
Oh, man, it went really, really well. It's funny, when I do radio, I forget things, you know. Like, at one point, we had five callers. I forgot we had callers. I just kept talking through that whole segment. But we had some great fun. A lot of people reached out to me after the show, told me how much they appreciated. That warmed my heart. But one of the coolest things was, and you and I didn't talk about it much, that plane crash that Tucker Carlson was in.
I didn't even know about that.
I don't think anyone knew.
And this isn't recent.
No, October, I think 2001.
Wow.
Yeah. And but he there's a story out there, and I'll send you the clip. It's a great clip. The plane crash part is just part of it, but and we just had a great time. It was great with Sky. It's great with Rosie. I really love doing that. I appreciate the opportunity Greg gives me.
Yeah, y'all do good work.
Thank you. Thank you.
So we got to hit this break.
All right.
But before we do, this part of the program brought to you by Josh and Leslie Ryder. They're at Dillon Rings. And folks, Dillon Rings always has great, exciting new pieces. And if you go to Dillon Rings on the Book of Faces, just type in Dillon Rings. They really do have exciting news. And they need your input. Which custom ring design steals the show? Or do they both steal the show? So you can check out two of their stunning creations, Josh Ryder's creations, and cast your vote. Which one should Josh Ryder make first? Your opinion matters. And one is this beautiful purple stone. The other is like this bright orange stone. And they're massive, like beautiful rings. And so this is what they can do there at Dillon Rings. They can, I'm looking at are digital renderings. Okay. It looks like an actual ring somebody took a picture of.
That's what they look like, yeah.
And so whenever you're doing custom design work with Josh Ryder there at Dillon Rings, you can give a description, and your opinion really does matter. He can kind of craft something, be the artist he is, and then give you, hey, here's what it's going to look like once I actually do the work. Here's the digital rendering. And they can even, if you know, match your skin tone and have it, you know, look like it's on your finger or something like that. And so you give them a yay or nay, but it's a great process, and they can create truly unique, wonderful pieces. Just, again, go to the Facebook page, Dillon Rings, to see how this process works.
Which way are you leaning? I kind of think you're going to be leaning towards the purple.
I'm about the purple.
I love that orange.
I like the purple.
You like that
orange?
I do. It's like it really draws my attention. The purple is pretty, but I've seen that, you know, quite often. But that orange really draws my attention to it. That's beautiful.
I mean, they're both beautiful, but I like that purple with the gold. Yeah, it's almost like, looks like rose gold.
It does.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. Yeah, Josh Ryder, true artist.
Yeah.
And, of course, Josh and Leslie both can help you out. Full-service jewelry shop there at Dillon Rings. You can, again, always go to the Book of Faces or search Dillon Rings on Instagram. Or, go to DillonRings.com. But I really encourage you to stop by their showroom. 119 Brown Springs Road, right here in Montgomery, just off of Atlanta Highway, kind of where the old Fun Zone used to be. And be sure to tell Josh and Leslie that Joey and Eddie from the radio sent you. We'll be right back.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
I'm Republican Jacqueline Tomlinson. You've heard me here on the Greg Budell Show quite a bit over the years. Running for office is the last thing I thought I'd do. But when your community calls, you answer. With more than 15 years of family law experience, I've helped local families through some of their toughest times. And so, I'm asking for your vote in the Republican primary on Tuesday, March 5th for Circuit Judge.
Vote for my mommy!
Paid for by the Tomlinson Campaign, P.O. Box 821, Wetumpka, Alabama, 36092.
Hi there, I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage. For years, I've been asking you to call me at Alabama Home Mortgage because there is a difference in mortgage companies. When you call Alabama Home Mortgage, from the moment we pick up the phone, you will hear the difference. We are passionate about what we do. To us, you're not just another applicant. When you call on us, you are trusting that we have your best interest at heart, and we do. We treat our customers like family, and that's why our customers turn into family, coming back to us time and time again. We know you have many options when it comes to mortgage financing, and we appreciate the opportunity to earn your business. We are excited to hear from you. Give Alabama Home Mortgage a call at 567-4223. That's 567-4223. Or visit us online at myalabamahomemortgage.com to complete an application on your time. Our passion is just one difference that sets us apart from the rest. It's not just a slogan, call Alabama Home Mortgage, because, folks, there is a difference in mortgage companies. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey there, River Region area. Dawson Electric hopes you had an amazing Christmas and a fantastic New Year. As we step into 2024, it's time to tackle those resolutions and make sure your home or business is in tip-top shape. And for all your electrical needs, there's one name you can trust, Dawson Electric. Whether you're planning a remodel, constructing a new home, or require service for your existing electrical systems, Dawson Electric has got you covered. Need emergency generators installed? Looking to enhance your outdoor space with stunning landscape lighting? Dawson Electric is the answer. We do it all, for homes and commercial spaces alike. For more information, you can find us on Facebook. Search for Dawson Electric Company, LLC. Hit the like button and stay connected with us. We're happy to speak with you at any time. Just call 334-270-8024. Say it with me. That's 334-270-8024. For all your electrical service needs for home or business, call us at Dawson Electric. Dawson Electric, lighting up your world.
For too long, Alabama's statewide news companies have shamed us for our conservative Christian values. Alabama deserves a news company that cherishes our culture, a company that isn't bought and paid for by the powers that be. 1819 News is that company. Run by Alabamians for Alabamians, 1819 News celebrates what is good and beautiful about our state while exposing those who work against our values in secret. Just go to 1819news.com to learn more. Subscribe to our newsletter. That's 1819news.com.
We get Montgomery talking 24 hours a day. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Joey Clark.
Welcome back to News and Views in the Afternoon. Telling you folks, this show's packed because now we have on the line the one, the only, really needs no introduction, General Michael Flynn. General, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing great, and I'm glad I finally connected with you guys. And I love coming on the show. I know it's been a big break contact here, but I love Alabama and love everything you guys represent. So thanks for what you're doing.
And thank you for joining us. And you've been making endorsements all over the state. In particular, a lot of our listening audience is in this Alabama 6th District, and you've endorsed mm-hmm. Jerick Wilkins?
I sure have. And I've spoken with him, met with him, and Jerick is just a terrific, terrific guy and a great leader. And I kind of look for the leadership in people as much as I do what they stand for. And, you know, he's a stands for things like defense, and you know, and one of the big things I am pushing with a lot of people that I am endorsing is this idea of term limit, because I think that people that, you know, there's been a lot of people that have run and they go, yeah, I'm for term limits, and they get in there and they don't do it, and I know that I've spoken with Jerick about it, and I believe him. I believe that he is for term limits. It has to happen, and of course, our nation's security, particularly this invasion that's going on our southern border, and it no longer is just affecting. In fact, it's been impacting every aspect of every state in this country. And I know Alabama is right there as well. You guys know it. You feel it. I'm calling from Florida. We feel it here in Florida. The invasion. We see it. I was just up in Kentucky last night. Kentucky's got problems. I was up in New Hampshire not too many months ago. New Hampshire's got problems with the illegal invasion. So we've got to really get that stopped, because we've got to get it under control, because it's not just this invasion of our border. It's also the introduction of Chinese-produced, Mexican cartel-introduced fentanyl, which we're now looking at about 150,000 to 200,000. I call it killed in action on the streets of America by this drug. And most people don't realize that they have introduced a new component inside of this fentanyl, some type of horse tranquilizer almost automatically kills whoever uses it. So, you know, those are the things. Jerick is for safety, the security of the of the people from Alabama, of the great district that he's part of, and I think that people need to take a hard look at him. I know he's behind President Donald J. Trump's America First agenda, and that's a big deal to me. I think that we have, I think everybody sees the country, you know, it feels like we're going off the rails, and that's because of the Democratic Socialist Party agenda, which, you know, there's really no Democrat Party anymore. It's really a Democratic Socialist Party that has taken over that party, basically, that ideology. And this is for real, folks. And I think in Alabama, you don't feel it as much. You might not see it as much. You probably feel it at the gas pump or at the store when you're buying groceries, maybe. But it's happening all over the country where we have a takeover by this socialist movement of this country. And it's very real. It's very real, and I want people to understand that. So that's why I'm for Jerick. Jerick Wilkins is a great guy. You know, he's got all kinds of experience doing the many things in his life, and he's just a terrific leader. I like people who are willing to stand up, step up, speak out, and really take the burden of responsibility on their shoulders. And Jerick is willing to do that.
And I've interviewed Jerick several times now here on the show, and I read his book, and you're right, a fantastic man with a lot of passion, I think also a foresight. And again, folks, we're talking to General Michael Flynn. That is the voice you're hearing endorsing Jerick Wilkins. And one thing I want to bring up with you, General Flynn, is as you're going around the country and trying to find great America First leaders, as you're trying to find folks that could actually help us fight back against the Democratic Socialist, if you will, what do you make of this misinformation infrastructure that has been built up? Of course, to me, it doesn't seem like they're fighting misinformation. It seems they're fighting the truth and just calling it misinformation. But how do we fight back against this behemoth they've built?
Yeah, and it's a great word, behemoth. It's a great word to use. So this is a federal government that has created an industry of censorship. And don't take my word for it. Just go listen to some of the testimony given by people like Matt Taibbi, Schellenberger, from the Weaponization Committee of Congress and the House Judiciary Committee. You can go listen to the Director of Homeland Security, Secretary of Homeland Security. Go listen to the Director of the FBI as they talk about these things. So this censorship community that it goes after the truth. And the thing about the truth, right, like we always know, right, the truth hurts. I say that, you know, the truth fears no enemies. And at times what is happening is we are finding people that are conservatives being targeted. And this is not a conspiracy theory. We have the facts on this. People are being targeted. I was one of them. Particularly in the 2016 campaign, and then when Trump became the president in 2017, and there's institutions in government, and they worked directly with these tech titans like Facebook and Instagram and Twitter before it was owned by Elon Musk. So yeah, in order to fix these, we're going to have to have, you know, number one, we've got to get Trump into office, and I think people like Jerick is another one of those people that you get him into Congress. I mean, we have people in Congress today that are fighting tooth and nail, and some of them are actually for this sort of stuff. And we can't have this. We cannot have this anymore. I mean, this nation is a nation built on freedom and built on our Constitution, built on our First Amendment, and that's why they made it the First Amendment. And we have to be able to have the ability to be able to speak freely, regardless of whether or not somebody agrees with you. And we have an entire structure, a superstructure, if you will, in government. So we need people that are smart about government. And I think under the leadership of President Trump, under the leadership of guys like Jerick Wilkins getting in there into Congress, we can actually take these institutions apart, because that's what's going to have to happen. They're going to need to be disassembled and put away forever. And you know, it doesn't mean that all the people that are serving in these institutions are bad. I will say that there are some that probably are or nefarious, and they do believe in this socialist way of government. But I think, you know, a lot of people in government are generally doing what they're being told to do. But we have to be able to tell them, thank you for your service. You know, go get a job down in Alabama. Go get a job in Nebraska. Go get a job out in the middle of the country and go see what the rest of the world is like. And I think we're going to have to do that. We're going to have to disassemble some of these institutions, particularly that are involved in this censorship. We cannot have that in a free society or a country that we are a constitutional republic type of government. We can't have that.
Again, folks, talking to General Michael Flynn, and you anticipated my next question. Myself and my sidekick here, we were really impressed in the early primaries with Vivek Ramaswamy, and it's great to see Mr. Ramaswamy now working with President Trump, but it was that bold, almost wrecking ball approach, in particular in matters of national security. I know the criticism is going to be, well, we have to defend the nation, people will die. Do you just call BS on that? No, these things have to be, we need a wrecking ball.
Yeah, I would, you know, so from my perspective, I didn't go to war because I hate an enemy. I went to war because I love our country.
Amen.
And I think that people have to, that people, everybody needs to reflect on that. We love our country, right? Every American that's listening to this radio talk show here, I know that they're great people. They're you know, out the Alabamans, like they're great people, and they want to do the right thing. And sometimes doing the right thing is the harder right, right? And that means that we are going to have to look at things that have been created by the federal government, and we're going to have to take them apart. I mean, you know, brick by brick, not to hurt those people that have been placed in those. You know, again, I do believe that there's going to be some accountability that needs to happen of people, but we have to take these institutions apart. Our federal government, you know, has grown so obese. And it rides on top of our shoulders like, and beats us like a horse, right? Like a mule, beats the American people like a mule. We cannot have that in a society that is about we the people, right? The preamble to our great documents, right? We the people. So we the people need to get involved. We need to have what's called, I call, local action. Local action will have a national impact if people stand up, step up, speak up, get involved. That's why I like Jerick Wilkins, because Jerick is one of those kind of guys that he said, you know, enough is enough. I'm going to get involved. And he's going after, you know, he's going after the, frankly, the untruth and the lies of those that he's fighting, that he's going to run against. Because when somebody says, you know, I'm for term limits and then keeps running for office, you're not for term limits, right? That's a part that is going to have to be also disassembled. That's going to be a little bit harder because Congress is going to have to make that decision themselves. That doesn't come from the executive branch, the power of the president. That comes from only from Congress. So we need members of Congress who are brave enough to take that on. But the executive power of the president of the United States, this is why these people are fighting so hard for Trump not to go back in, is because as the executive of our nation, the president of the United States, and only the president, can make decisions, big decisions about elements of the federal government to basically eliminate them, you know, and to stop doing many of the things that the federal government does. And the federal government, everybody knows this, is so far and so deep into our lives, it has to stop. And the reason why it has to stop, because we are moving towards socialism, folks. We're not moving towards, you know, what we call this beautiful experiment in democracy called a constitutional republic. That's the direction. That's the path that I want to keep this country on. That's why I'm for President Donald J. Trump, and that's why I'm for Jerick Wilkins to become a member of Congress, and he can do it.
Well, I really appreciate you calling in today, sir, and if you're ever in the area, we have an open door. You're always welcome here on this program. And
you're in Montgomery, right?
Yes, sir.
I love Montgomery. I've been up there plenty of times. I will take you up on that.
Absolutely. Like I said, open door. And and Jerick will be on the show next week again, folks, for those keeping score. But thank you, General. I really appreciate the time today.
All right. God bless.
God bless. And General Michael Flynn.
How you like that?
Man, I've been telling folks, we got a packed show.
Yeah.
Election Day is, like, bringing out all the big guns.
Sure is.
So what do you make of this ruling by the Alabama Supreme Court? I'm kind of putting you on the spot here.
Yeah, you are. You know, I got to be honest, Joey. I see things a little bit different. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the nicest way to put it. I don't. It's tough all the way around. It's not an easy decision, but I don't.
Don't be shy in the sense that we were talking about this before we went on air today. I think the people that brought the initial suit
right
had a very good point.
Agreed, but it's just I worry how things can get twisted, and you can go to intend to do some good, and then pass a law that does not, you know, does just the opposite.
Well, and actually, that's what the Alabama Supreme Court said. This is up to the legislature.
Just that's what I worry about.
And so the one dissent has a point that this is based on a very old law. I don't think the principle in that old law, like Judge Napolitano was saying, is wrong.
Right.
But it could be like, okay, if something, an embryo is frozen.
Enforcement of that. And how? Who
and
determines what?
And like, this is, I think, going to continue to be not just adjudicated, but I think there will be questions for lawmakers on this technology and all sorts of other stuff coming down the road.
Right.
And that's always the rub. How do you apply essentially eternal principles as best as we can glean them with our own reason to the new technologies that we are bringing to bear?
I hate saying it, but in Alabama, we're so far behind that eight ball on new technology.
Yeah.
That's why it makes me scared. And the people that we have writing this law, they're way behind on any kind of technology.
And the one criticism of this ruling that from the internet, because this has gone international now, that drives me nuts, is like, he's basing it in religion. And I'm like, okay, because all of your deeply held beliefs and principles, secular, liberal person, you can prove it all rationally, right?
No.
With just pure logic and reason, you can. You can't.
Most of them can't talk 30 seconds without becoming irrational.
Well, there are things in life, axioms. There are things that you assume. There are things that you often feel that there's a conviction there. And I don't care if you claim you believe in God or not. You have those sorts of things that guide your life.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not conscious. But this distinction that's constantly being made, especially by more left-leaning, so-called secular folks, that they're religious, we're not. I'm like, no, I don't think you live your life that way. And the way you're trying to impose your lifestyle on others suggests you have your own point of view.
Exactly.
And so this idea that we have the neutral position, no, you don't. It's the myth of neutrality. And I've been dragged, kicking and screaming to that conclusion. I wanted there to be this sort of neutral set of laws.
There's not.
We could get along.
There's
but that's just not the way.
It does not exist.
With the current society we're in, that ain't in the cards.
No. It ain't
in
the cards. You got two extremes, and it's where you fall.
Right.
It drives me nuts because there is no happy medium anymore.
Well, we do have to hit this break. More news and views in the afternoon after this.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings, 6 till 9, and afternoons, 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks Vapor Stick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick. And it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick. Soothing comfort for the whole family. And when you need more comfort for yourself, try Vicks VapoShower for steamy Vicks Vapors.
Use as directed. VapoStick for usage is 4 and up. VapoShower use for adults only.
I spray and scrub, but the soap scum in my bathtub is still there.
I spray and scrub, but the burnt sauce on my stovetop sticks around.
Sprays can leave grime behind, but new Mr. Clean Ultra Foamy Magic Eraser combines the scrubbing power of an eraser with the cleaning power of Dawn to melt away tough messes on contact.
Just wet, squeeze, and erase.
Stop spraying, start erasing, and clean with more magic than ever with new Ultra Foamy Magic Eraser.
Mr. Clean.
The Health and Wealth Show. The Health and Wealth Show. The show so nice, we said it twice. Weekday evenings at 6 on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Wake it up, son. Joke's over, hey?
Rich Thomas Weather, brought to you by Wiley Sanders Truck Lines. Truckers, if you are looking for green grass, contact Wiley Sanders Truck Lines. In business since 1959 and still growing. Call today, 855-777-9785.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. The weather news couldn't be better for a week in February. I tell you, lots of sunshine again today. Well, a little warmer than yesterday with a high around 66. Clear skies, not quite as chilly tonight, low 37. Tomorrow's high temperature in the lower 70s. Thursday, I think we're in the mid-70s. Lots of sunshine. The risk of showers holding off until Thursday night, maybe into Friday morning, but not much. And dry weather returns for the weekend. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
John Bobo with Capital Tractor. Looking for a tractor, excavator, mower, ag implements, or other equipment? Capital Tractor is as close as your smartphone or computer. Find the best deals, financing information, and browse new and used inventory with just a click at CapitalTractor.com.
What's your biggest investment? More than likely, it's your home. So treat it that way when you hire a painting contractor. At PBS Painting, there are no gimmicks, no $99 specials. Just quality painting and someone who treats your home with the same respect that you do. At PBS Painting, we have been painting for years and look forward to many more years to come. With PBS Painting, the job gets prepped properly, whether it's cleaning, scraping, or priming. We always use quality products, which is a must for a quality paint job. So if you're looking for a painter that doesn't need upfront money and is on the job at all times, then please give me a call. Scott Bowers and PBS Painting, 294-5122. That's PBS Painting, 294-5122. Look at some of our work on Facebook at PBS Painting Montgomery.
This is your all-time favorite president, Donald J. Trump. My friend, Congressman Gary Palmer, is running for re-election to Alabama's 6th Congressional District. Gary is an America First conservative who is fighting to secure our border, strengthen our military, and protect and defend our undersea Second Amendment. Alabama, please get out and vote for Gary Palmer for Congress on March 5th. He will not let you down. Thank you.
I'm Gary Palmer, and I approve this message.
If it concerns your community, you'll hear about it on News Talk 93.1. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Welcome back to News and Views in the afternoon. I'm Joey. He's Eddie.
Hey, Joey.
Like I said, we got a busy packed show today. On the phone line now, we have the one, the only, Dr. Stuart Tankersley. Doc, how you doing this afternoon?
Hey. You're doing great, guys. Thank you. How are y'all?
I'm wonderful. We're surviving, carrying on like, at least I'm carrying on like the wayward son I am for the time being. A little classic rock pun there. Now, you have some news, some latest figures on the fallout from COVID, fallout maybe from this vaccine regime, about excess death numbers. Tell the audience about this.
Yeah, I think following General Flynn, you know, he talked about the Constitution, and the preamble to it says our Creator gave us these rights for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I think that the liberals hate life. They certainly don't love liberty, and it's a misery that they inflict on others. It's very sad, and the worst of it is, and he laid out a lot of it, and I think one of the things when he said we need to get rid of some of these institutions, we need to get rid of the Alabama Department of Public Health as it currently exists, because they have inflicted on us immeasurable harm. And the latest news, I was watching John Campbell has a YouTube channel. He has 3 million subscribers. He's listened to a lot. And today's in today's presentation, there are 136,000 views in the past 7 hours. He lays out the latest excess death in our country in the last in 2022 and in the first 9 months of 2023. In that time, the excess deaths in 2022 were 496,000, which is a 17.53% increase. And in the first 9 months of 2023, 156,000, that's a 7.8% increase in excess deaths. These shots are killing millions of people. It is an evil we've never had to deal with before. You know, in World War II, there were 405,000 servicemen that died. And we just now we're looking at 652,000 excess deaths in 1.75 years. This is an insanity. We've got to get rid of Scott Harris, and the Alabama Department of Public Health has got to be accountable to our legislature. As it exists now, the ADPH is not accountable to the legislature.
Amen. I agree with that change. It needs to be done now. It needs to be done this session. Hopefully there's support there in the legislature. Is there any, like, coding of the deaths, like what they're officially giving the reasons for why these excesses are happening?
Yeah, we know how these shots are killing people. Mainly it's in blood clots, strokes, heart attacks. But it's exponentially more people are being injured by these things, by these shots. And a simple question that nobody can answer is, why would we give a shot to somebody, much less billions of people, that forces the body to then produce a known toxin by millions and billions of it, and that is the spike protein, that is a known toxin. It's been a known toxin since at least 2008. Why in the world would we do this to people? And now we're looking at the, we're seeing the tip of the iceberg in these excess deaths. I was at another funeral with a family member of mine a week and a half ago, and he said, I've been at more funerals in the last 6 months than I've been in my life. And I was like, well, I think I know why. Yeah. And he turned around and walked away because he believes in the lies of COVID. Yeah. But, this is insane what we're doing, and what is our this is the fifth legislative session since all this insanity started, and they're focusing on penalizing the poorest and dumbest in the community for gambling. This is insane. Who is the leadership in the Republican Party in our state?
Well, Kay Ivey, sugar. We'll see where all this goes, but with the jabs, correct me if I'm wrong, but the design itself is designed to where the spike protein doesn't go throughout the body, and I suppose
No. It goes in every organ in the body.
Okay.
And they knew that.
They knew it.
It goes into every organ. Yeah, they did, because the biodistribution studies that Japan required revealed that. And they knew that before they rolled them out.
So it's worse than, like, because that was months old information. I was remembering listening to Robert Malone, so it's now been shown with more research that, no, this, they knew this would happen. It's not just a mistake.
Well, you know, you got to, you know, in the 1930s, people should have paid attention to what Hitler wanted to do. He told them in Mein Kampf 10 years before.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, somebody should have said, well, maybe we should read what he wants to do. And these people have told us for decades what they wanted to do is population control. This isn't speculation. It's not a conspiracy theory. It is the ultimate conspiracy. But it is not a conspiracy theory by any means. The Kissinger Report of 74, the whole goal of it was a top secret report that Henry Kissinger commissioned when he was the National Security Advisor simultaneous to being Secretary of State. He's the only person that's ever done that. And it was a confidential, highly secret document. The Kissinger Report in 1974 was, how do we control population?
Right. And now
that's the game they've been playing like never before.
And it really is. It's crazy. But I'm running out of time here, so I would love to have you back when we could do maybe a whole hour here in the studio.
Love that.
Just love to talk about the latest. But I really appreciate your time, as always, Doc.
Thank you so much.
Again, that's Dr. Stuart Tankersley. Whew. What an hour. What an hour of show. In fact, even one guy that constantly is, you know, ribbing us saying, this show is on fire, fellas. Romex Angler saying that. And he goes on to say, Joey, you have way too much forehead showing today. No, you're just used to seeing